Mud Podcast presents.
Good morning, and welcome to Heart of the Earth. This is a program about Native Americans and other indigenous cultures. My name is Agnes, and I'll be with you. And I opened with Joy Harjo, I Pray for My Enemies, a title cut from her latest CD. And I just felt that just seemed to be about the most appropriate message I could give right now. Yeah, you got to pray for your enemies because, whoa, it's getting a little crazy. I mean, you know, with Trump has censored 200 words, cannot be anywhere in any government thing. And one of them is Native Americans. Can't have that. Can't have any mention of any Native American. And what it did was it removed the Navajo code talkers from some of the military sites. No mention of Ira Hayes. Yeah, Native American code talkers, and this is from Native News Online. Native American code talkers are highly revered across Indian country for their patriotism and service to the United States. And during World War II, Navajo code talkers, a group of Diné citizens serving in the U.S. Marine Corps, used the Navajo language to securely transmit classified tactical messages. On Monday, in an executive article, Axios reported articles about the renowned Native American code talkers have disappeared from some military websites with several broken URLs now labeled DEI. Axios identified at least 10 articles mentioning the code talkers that had disappeared from the U.S. Army and Department of Defense websites as of Monday. During World War II in the South Pacific Theater, the Navajo code talkers used a secret code that was never broken by the Japanese, enabling the United States military to communicate securely and ensure victory. The Navajo language secured military communication lines that allowed Marines to advance on the battlefields of the Pacific Theater. The original group of 29 Navajo code talkers transmitted information about tactics, troop movements, orders, and other battlefield messages using telephones and radios. Their work was so successful by the end of World War II, more than 400 Navajos were called upon to serve as code talkers. The code has never been broken. The story about the contributions to save democracy remained classified until 1968. This rich history has been diminished due to a Trump executive order aimed at removing diversity, inclusion, and equity, the DEI initiatives throughout the federal government. Asked about the missing pages, Pentagon Press Secretary John Ulliott replied in a statement, quote, as Secretary Pete Hegseth has said, DEI is dead at the Defense Department. We are pleased by the rapid compliance across the department with the directive removing DEI content from all platforms. The irony of the erasure is one of the far right's heroic presidents, Ronald Reagan, in 1982 declared August 14th as, quote, National Navajo Code Talkers Day to honor the contributions of the Navajo Code Talkers. I mean, this story was, you know, it was in the Washington Post, New York Times, you name it, every newspaper, major and minor, were just in shock over the removal of the Navajo code talkers. To read another one, more pages honoring diversity in U.S. military history has been removed from Defense Department websites as the Pentagon undergoes what appears to be a purge of content that is considered to be related to diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI. Among those pages was the one celebrating Ira Hayes, one of the Marines famously pictured raising the American flag at Iwo Jima in 1945, according to the Washington Post. Hayes, a Native American, was praised in the page as an example of the, quote, contributions and sacrifices Native Americans have made to the United States, not just in the military, but in all walks of life. Likewise, articles about the Native American code talkers in the Second World War appear to have been removed from military websites, with an error page being shown in place of the pages. Internet archive websites show some of the pages were still up in early March before being taken down. The removal of the pages was first reported by Axios. I believe this article is from The Guardian. The Native Americans helped the U.S. send messages in the First and Second World Wars in secret using their tribal language. The use of the Choctaw language in the First World War was so successful that Germany and Japan sent students to the United States after the war to study Native American languages. In the Second World War, the military enlisted Navajo to communicate messages in their language, which is known to be one of the hardest languages to learn. To further encrypt messages, the Native American code talkers encoded the language with word substitutions. More than 400 Navajo were part of the code talkers program during the war. And in recent weeks, the Pentagon appears to have focused on removing any web page that is deemed to be DEI. The web pages that it has taken down mostly have to deal with women or decorated service members who were not white. Often seen within the URLs of the removed web pages on the Native American Code Talkers are the letters DEI, suggesting that the department has been removing the web pages in accordance with Donald Trump's presidential orders banning all DEI initiatives within the federal government. I really don't think the Navajo Code Talkers was DEI. No. To continue. After an outcry from the families of veterans, the Department of Defense restored a webpage celebrating the 442nd Regimental Combat Team, a unit of Japanese-American soldiers who fought for the U.S. in the Second World War and became the most decorated unit from that war. Upon restoring the page, the Pentagon said in a statement that it was following guidance from Trump's executive order and Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense. Quote, the 442nd Regimental Combat Team holds an honored place in Army history, and we are pleased to republish an article that highlights the brave soldiers, the Pentagon said in a statement to the Hawaii News Now. A similar pattern of events ensured after the Pentagon removed the web pages of Major General Charles Calvin Rogers, a Black Medal of Honor recipient who had served in Vietnam. The Defense Department restored the webpage but took on a more defiant tone regarding the website purging project. The Pentagon has labeled the Iwo Jima raising photograph an, quote, iconic image. It was taken on the 23rd of February, 1945, by a photographer for the Associated Press, Joe Rosenthal. Rosenthal's photograph went on to win the Pulitzer Prize and was used as a model for a statue that serves as the centerpiece of the Marine Corps War Memorial in Arlington, Virginia. In a statement to The Guardian, Department spokesperson Sean Parnell said, quote, I think the President and Secretary have been very clear on this, that anybody that says in the Department of Defense that diversity is our strength is frankly incorrect. The statement echoed a sentiment Hegseth voiced in February when he said, quote, I think the single dumbest phase in military history is our diversity is our strength. Well, I'm going to share this with you. It's from Levi Rickert. National Native News. And he says, when Donald Trump casually floated the idea of purchasing Greenland in 2019, many dismissed it as another outlandish moment in his long history of headline-grabbing statements. But as more recent reports emerge of his administration's alleged discussions about acquiring Greenland, Canada, Panama, and even Gaza, a troubling pattern comes into focus, one that mirrors the very colonial impulses that led to the near destruction of tribal nations, just like the destruction of Gaza. What Israel did yesterday, bombing the way they did, killing 300 more innocent people. And they say, you know, their religion guides them. I'm sorry, but it has to stop. The killing of the Palestinian people has to stop. To continue, America has always had an insatiable hunger for land. From the moment European settlers arrived on the shores of what is now the United States, expansion was prioritized over the rights of indigenous peoples who had stewarded the land for millennia. The doctrine of manifest destiny, the belief that white Americans were divinely ordained to expand its territory across the continent, was used to justify the forced removal and massacres of Native people, as well as the outright theft of Native lands. Trump's ambitions may seem modern, but they are simply a continuation of this colonial mindset dressed up in a 21st century rhetoric. At first glance, Trump's apparent desire to acquire foreign territories might seem like an outdated throwback to an era of imperial conquest, but it is crucial to recognize that these land grabs, whether through purchase, annexation, or military control, are never just about territory. They are about power, control, and exploitation. When European colonizers came to the Americas, they did not simply want land. They wanted the resources that came with it. They sought gold, fertile soil, waterways, and most tragically, the free labor that Native and enslaved African peoples were forced to provide. The American government, through policies like the Indian Removal Act and the Dawes Act, systematically disposed Native Americans of their lands, pushing them onto ever-shrinking reservations while extracting wealth from the lands where they once lived. Trump's desires for Greenland, Canada, Panama, and Gaza follow a similar blueprint. Greenland is rich in natural resources, from rare earth minerals to oil reserves. Canada, with its vast land and abundant water sources, would provide strategic benefits. Panama, already under U.S. influence due to its critical canal, represents economic leverage. Gaza, a region steeped in geopolitical conflict, presents yet another opportunity for the U.S. to exert its influence under the guise of stability. The pattern is clear. Land is not just land, but a means to extract wealth and power, with little regard for the people who are already living there. For Native Americans, the idea of powerful nations carving up land without consent is nothing new. Treaties were signed under duress, then repeatedly broken when they no longer suited the interests of the U.S. government. Many tribal nations, sovereign and self-sustaining, were systematically dismantled, their people forced into poverty while their lands were exploited for American gain. Consider the Louisiana Purchase, where Thomas Jefferson doubled the size of the United States without consulting the indigenous nations already living there. Or the annexation of Hawaii, where the U.S. government overthrew a sovereign Native monarchy to secure a strategic naval base. Each of these events were justified under the premise of economic benefit or national security, just as Trump's desires for Greenland and beyond are framed today. The notion that a powerful nation can simply claim or buy another people's land without consent is precisely what Native Americans have fought against for centuries. It is the same entitlement that led to the forced marches of the Trail of Tears, the violent enforcement of reservation boundaries, and the systematic suppression of indigenous sovereignty. It is colonialism, plain and simple. If we ignore the implications of Trump's territorial ambitions, we risk normalizing a mindset that sees land and people as mere commodities to be acquired and controlled. This is particularly dangerous in an era where indigenous nations are still fighting for their rights, whether it is protecting sacred sites from oil pipelines or pushing for the return of stolen lands. For indigenous communities, the battle against colonialism never ended. It simply evolved. Today, it takes the form of legal fights over treaty rights, environmental activism against extractive industries, and efforts to reclaim traditional governance structures. But when President Trump openly muses about acquiring foreign lands, it sends a chilling reminder that these colonial impulses are still alive. Rather than expanding its reach through imperial ambitions, the United States should reckon with the damage it has already done. Tribal nations continue to fight for recognition, land restoration, and self-governance. Trump's vision of simply taking or buying land ignores the fundamental truth that land is just not a commodity. It is a home, a heritage, and a legacy. Native Americans understand this better than anyone. After centuries of broken promises and stolen lands, the last thing the world needs is another U.S. leader reviving the old ghosts of colonialism. If history has taught us anything, it is that land taken without consent never truly belongs to the taker. Tribal nations are still here, still fighting, and still reminding the world that sovereignty is not for sale. Well, last week, last Thursday morning, Indian Country lost a champion of Congress, Representative Raul M. Grijalva, a Democrat of Arizona, died on Thursday morning from complications of his cancer treatments. His congressional office released a statement on Thursday announcing his death. And during his time in Congress, he rose to be one of the strongest defenders of Native American issues in the U.S. House of Representatives. He was 77 years old. He represented Arizona's 7th Congressional District, which extended from Tucson to the suburbs of Phoenix. First elected to the U.S. House of Representatives in 2002, he went on to serve 11 full terms. He served as the chair of the House Natural Resources Committee, a committee that deals with many Native American issues, from January 2019 to January of 2023, 2 congressional terms. He ceded his position when Republicans took control of the House after the 2022 midterm elections, transitioning to the ranking member role. He championed indigenous rights, introducing the repealing existing substandard provisions encouraging conciliation with tribes act, called the Respect Act, to require federal consultation with tribal governments on matters impacting their communities. He strongly opposed land exchanges that endangered sacred sites, notably fighting against the proposed resolution compromise at Oak Flat, which is in Arizona on the Apache land, to safeguard these lands for future generations. In his remarks at the designation of the what translates to ancestral footprints of the Grand Canyon National Monument on August 8th of 2023, he said, quote, that the ancestral lands are not forgotten fantasies, that reality's right across us, and that's the role of indigenous peoples, and the tribes will be of significance, not window dressing. His advocacy extended to improving health care, education, and economic opportunities for Native communities. By working to codify the tribal consultation process, he reinforced his commitment to tribal sovereignty and ensuring indigenous voices played a central role in federal decision-making. Navajo President Bu Nyguren said in a text to Native News Online, quote, Congressman Grijalva was an incredible champion for Indian country, always standing up for tribal sovereignty, economic development, and the rights of indigenous people. He was a true ally and advocate, always welcoming, always willing to listen, and always ready to take action on issues that mattered to our communities. I extend my deepest gratitude to him and his family for sharing such an extraordinary leader with us. His dedication to Arizona and Indian country leaves a lasting legacy that will not be forgotten. We honor his life, his service, and his unwavering commitment to justice and progress for tribal nations. End of quote. Well, former Secretary of Interior Deb Haaland of the Laguna Pueblo, who served in the House of Representatives for 2 terms representing New Mexico's 1st Congressional District before becoming Interior Secretary, said in a statement that Grijalva was a mentor to her. She served as chair of the House Subcommittee on National Parks, Forest, and Public Lands under then-chair of the House Natural Resource Committee, Grijalva. Quote, Mr. Grijalva was one of my mentors and a compassionate leader. He was unwavering in his work to protect our air, land, and water, and a powerful advocate for tribal communities everywhere. I will miss his keen sense of humor and astute way of telling it like it is. My heart goes out to his loved ones, friends, and our fellow colleagues who served alongside him, she said. Grijalva was a staunch advocate of Haaland when she was in consideration for Secretary of the Interior post, and during her time at the Department of the Interior, they worked side by side to protect lands surrounding the Grand Canyon, increase infrastructure funding, and secure future water resources for drought-stricken states. Former Navajo President Jonathan Nez appreciated the support Grijalva gave the Navajo Nation. Nez said in a statement, quote, The congressman and his staff were key partners in helping my administration secure the funding and resources needed to respond to the pandemic and for securing public land protections in the Grand Canyon. Grijalva was always a strong ally to the Navajo Nation and Indian Country. He served as a true public servant for the people of his district and of Arizona. May his legacy live on through the impacts of his public service and the countless people he touched along the way. My family and I will be praying for his family, friends, and his staff through these difficult times, said ex-President Nez. In a statement Thursday, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, a Democrat of New York, called Grijalva, quote, a progressive warrior who always fought for the least, the lost, and the left behind, and said, quote, Congress, caucus, and country lost a giant who has fought for the environment and against climate change.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support people-powered radio at kmud.org.
This is a follow-up from last week about Emily Post, Emily Pike, because the San Carlos tribe is offering a $75,000 reward for information leading to an arrest of the murder of 14-year-old Emily Pike, whose tragic death has sent shockwaves through indigenous communities nationwide. Pike, a citizen of the tribe, was reported missing on January 27th after leaving her group home in Mesa, Arizona. Her remains were discovered on February 14th along U.S. Route 60 near Globe, Arizona, nearly 100 miles from where she was last seen. In her honor, artists have painted a mural on a large water tank across U.S. 70 in Peratt, Arizona, on the San Carlos Apache Reservation. The artwork features a portrait of Pike wearing a red Apache camp dress surrounded by medicinal plants significant of the San Carlos Apache people. Silhouettes of Apache warriors stand beside her while the words Apache Strong appear in white, framed by a butterfly and stars. As a final tribute, community members placed red handprints on the mural, symbolizing solidarity in the fight against the missing and murdered indigenous women and girls, the MMIWG crisis. Emily's mother, Stephanie Dosella, was the first to add her handprint, marking a deeply personal tribute to her daughter. On March 14th, community members in Begey, Minnesota, gathered at Paul Bunyan Park, dressed in pink, Emily's favorite color, to honor her memory and demand justice. Similar demonstrations took place in Cathedral City, California, where protesters call attention to the larger MMIWG crisis. Pike's case has also gained a widespread attention on social media, with advocates sharing images of themselves with red handprints over their mouths, a symbol of the MMIWP movement. And according to the National Crime Information Center, 5,712 cases of missing American Indian and Alaska Native women and girls were reported in 2016. However, the U.S. Department of Justice Federal Missing Persons Database, NAMUS, recorded only 116 of those cases. A 2016 study of the National Institute of Justice further revealed that more than 4 in 5 American Indian and Alaska Native women, 84.3%, have experienced violence in their lifetime, including 56.1% who have been victims of sexual violence. And despite mounting pressure, no arrests have been made in Pike's case. Authorities continue to investigate, and the San Carlos Apache tribe remains hopeful that the $75,000 reward will encourage anyone with information to step forward. And also, in a sea of red on March 16th, a Valley community is searching for answers. Quote, mothers and fathers are suffering and losing their children in all tribal nations, a speaker said in a vigil and a walk held in the teen's memory. Quote, somebody knows something, a speaker said. Speak up. They need to be brought to justice. And now there's a $75,000 reward for information. Quote, to Emily and her family, they're not alone. We stand with them and we feel their pain. And as they seek justice, supporters place their hands in red paint, covering their mouths, symbolizing the many missing and murdered indigenous women. It shows they will not be silenced. Quote, Indigenous women, when they're taken, you know, they're covering their mouths not to be spoken, you know, from being heard. So we are spreading awareness so that they are heard, a speaker said. Again, the San Carlos Apache tribe put forth a $75,000 reward, hoping for any information that will lead to arrest in the case. And if anybody knows anything about Emily's death, you can call the Gila County Sheriff's Office at 928-223-52, or you can call the San Carlos Apache Tribal Police, and that's at 928-475-1755. And also, just another story about similar, because an airman has finally been charged in the killing of a Native American woman who went missing 7 months ago in South Dakota. A 24-year-old airman has been charged with killing a Native American woman who went missing in South Dakota about 7 months ago. Quinteras Chapel, 24, made his first court appearance on Monday on one account of second-degree murder in the killing of Sahela Sangret, 21. The court documents in the case are sealed, but authorities said Sangret was killed in August on the Ellsworth Air Force Base in western South Dakota, where Chapel was stationed as an active-duty airman. Chapel is being prosecuted in federal court, and the court records show he's being represented by the Federal Defender's Office. A woman who answered the phone at that office declined to comment on his behalf. He's being held at the Pennington County Jail. The U.S. Attorney's Office said he pleaded not guilty, and if convicted, he could face life in prison. Chapel is an aircraft inspection journeyman assigned to the 28th Maintenance Squadron at the Ellsworth Base, according to a statement from the base. He began serving in April of 2019. Quote, first and foremost, our thoughts and prayers are with the friends and family of Sahela, Colonel Derek Oakley, 28th Bomb Wing Commander, said in a statement, quote, we hold airmen accountable for their actions, and if service members are found in violation of military or civilian law, they will be punished. A hiker discovered Sangret's body on March 4th near the Pennington County and Custer County lines, according to a Facebook post from the Pennington County Sheriff's Office. Sangret was reported missing on August 10th, and her remains were badly decomposed, authorities said. Her cause of death has not been made. Sangret was from Box Elder, South Dakota, where the Ellsworth base is located. Officials did not share whether Sangret knew Chapel. And according to a missing persons poster shared on Facebook, Sangret was staying with a friend in Eagle Butte and was going to return to Box Elder to gather some of her things before heading to California. It is unknown whether she reached Box Elder. Sangret was Native American. According to the poster, there are 59 cases of missing Native Americans in South Dakota, and more than half of them are women, according to the Attorney General's Missing Persons Database. Federal and state task forces were created to investigate cases of missing and murdered Indigenous people across the country. You know, and I just have to ask, you know, how many of those agencies are now still in existence? Because they contain, you know, they're one of those 200 words that are being censored, and DOGE killing all those programs. But it doesn't take the history away. I remember when I started this show, and I talk about boarding schools and doctrine of discovery. People would say, oh, Agnes, you don't know what you're talking about. They never taught us that in school. I never heard of that. I said, well, I'm telling you, I'm being honest. I don't lie. I don't keep it from you. White man's history books do. And now, there's a second round of it, second go around. It's disgusting. Disgusting. When you remember that you're living on stolen land that was built by people who were stolen from their land. That's this history. That's the true history of this country. And no matter how many words or how many things you want to take off the internet, doesn't take away what white man has done. Not only here, but all over the world. They want to continue doing it. Just like I shared earlier with you, Greenland, Iceland, Canada. Well, China and Russia want some of that Arctic too, which a lot of it's Canada. So Canada is now reinforcing their military up in the Arctic because they don't know what's going to happen. People that would go back and forth, especially up in northern Michigan, into Canada, Canadians would come in. Nope. America is not being made great again, Mr. Trump. Far from it. All you're doing is taking all that greedy money, cutting programs. My husband uses an inhaler. We were in a program as seniors. It was costing us $40 a month. Last time I went to get it, it was $270. Yeah, America's really being made great again. And it's hurting the people that need the most help. So these white men with their Nazi salutes can just keep making more money and more money. But you know what? You can't take that money with you. And I will be back next week. Keep your ears tuned to the mud.
This has been a KMUD podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.